Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Today's broadcast is a special compilation of interviews with contributing authors to the Christian Research Journal. Hank's three guests provide insights into key issues affecting young people in our culture. Award-winning author Nancy Piercy presents the much-needed worldview rationale for biblical morality in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. Sean McDowell shows how to reach out to skeptics personally and engage them in relationships in What Skeptics Want Christians to Know. And Mark Sayers provides a better understanding of Generation Y and how to reach them for Christ in his article, Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. And now, to start the Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Want to make a couple of comments about my book, Has God Spoken, which is now available to our constituency for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And do remember, for a gift of $100 or more, you can get a personalized copy of Has God Spoken, as well as when you join the monthly support team. I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken. I think it's a very important book at a very strategic time in history, a time in which there are people like Bart Ehrman, who is the chair of the Religious Studies Department, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and a best-selling author, is denigrating in the public sphere the Bible. And he does it in a very strategic way, so strategic he says that even the most conservative of his students are falling for the notion that the Bible is simply flawed. In fact, when I read the title of his latest offering, the words of Solomon flashed through my mind in neon. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time for war and a time for peace, a time to answer a fool according to his folly and a time to refrain from doing so. But as a shock doc, he's certainly at it again. And this time he's raised the decibel level to a brand new level. The cover of his latest offering literally shrieks forth the word forged. And the contents are screaming just as loudly. What he says is he came to realize that the Bible not only contains untruths or accidental mistakes, it also contains what almost anyone today would call lies. And that is what he says his book is about. And he has just begun to sharpen his rhetoric. The apostles, he says, could not have left an authoritative writing if their souls depended on it. Instead, the Gospels were forged by highly educated Greek-speaking Christians who probably lived outside of Palestine. And worse yet, according to Ehrman, is that whoever forged the Gospel of John was virulently anti-Jewish. And if that's not enough to gain attention, he piles on with the accusation that the forgeries were written long after the time of Christ. And by the time John was written, probably, he says, around 90 to 95, that earlier generation had died out, and most, if not all, the disciples were already dead. Of course, reason and evidence point precisely in the opposite direction. He has now retreated into the implausible worldview of philosophical naturalism, but his ideas have consequences. Secular humanism has consequences. Secularism in general has consequences. And Nancy Piercy writes about this in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. There's a terrific article titled Sex, Lies, and Secularism. And she is pointing out the extreme consequences to young people, even Christian young people, who are sincere in their belief, but have become very secular in their behavior. Nancy Piercy has a book out called Saving Leonardo, and the article in the journal is based on that book, but she's also the author of the best-selling award-winning Total Truth, Liberating Christianity from Its Cultural Captivity. Nancy Piercy is an author that I am very much infatuated with, quite frankly. I love her writing, I love her work, and I appreciate her being on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. Hi, Nancy.
Well, hello, Hank. Good to be here.
Your article is at once troubling and enlightening. You talk about the impact of secularism in the whole sexual morass that we find ourselves in today, and particularly the distinction now that you make with respect to Christian young people who are buying into secular behavior.
That's right. The surprising thing is that the surprising story that I uncovered as I was researching this article was an article by a young Christian woman. I didn't realize she was a Christian at first. I was just Googling, you know, on the internet trying to find a story, and I found a story about by a student who was recommending to college students how to have what she called a happy hookup. And she advised college students that if they just take a moment and get mutual agreement before engaging in sexual acts, in her words, then the whole hookup experience will be more positive for everyone involved. So it was only after I read that I glanced over at her bio and I discovered that the author attends a very conservative Christian college. And that is what gave me my wake-up call that this is not just a problem for secular people, it's a problem for Christian people who have bought into the secular mindset that we have taught our children just say no. We give them rules, but what they really need today are not just rules, but reasons. They need to know the biblical worldview rationale behind biblical morality. Otherwise, they're going to be like this young woman and simply give out to the secular mindset in terms of their views. They may go to church, they may go to Sunday school and Bible study and even Christian college and still come out with a secular worldview.
So the idea is particularly rampant within the younger generation that somehow or other you can divorce your mind and emotions from your bodily functions.
Yeah, that's the key there, is that they're buying into a very fragmented, dualistic view of the human person. There was a really heartbreaking article in the New York Times about hooking up, and it explained that hooking up means there's no commitment, no emotional connection, no personal relationship. In fact, people call it friends with benefits, but even that is a euphemism because they're not even really friends. And the New York Times article put it this way: you just keep it purely sexual, and that way people don't get mixed expectations and no one gets hurt. And then ironically, in the same article, it went on to quote a teenager whose name was Melissa, who was depressed because her hookup partner had just broken up with her. And it was a stark example of the fact that this dualistic worldview doesn't work. We are holistic beings. We cannot simply wall off our physical self from our emotional and spiritual self. And the hookup culture is expressing this fragmented, dualistic, alienated view of the human person. And it's an open door for Christians to make a much more positive argument that we are whole persons. Our sexuality is designed to express the whole commitment of our whole lives, and that is marriage. We can present in a very positive way.
One of the things you point out, Nancy, in the article is that even in churches, many young people do not get why homosexual activity is morally wrong. And I thought your insights here were brilliant and not often expressed with respect to how this activity is running contrary, completely counter the biological facts.
That's it. You know, most defenses against homosexuality will appeal to abstractions like the family or the future of civilization, and those are valid arguments, but they tend not to have much cachet with people who are struggling to change deeply rooted, emotionally charged behavior. They really need to see that homosexual behavior is directly harmful to them, and the way we need to communicate that is that homosexuality also, like the hookup culture, expresses this fragmented view of the human person. And you can think of it this way. Biologically, physiologically, males and females are clearly counterparts to one another. That's the way their sexual and their reproductive anatomy is obviously designed. So the problem with homosexual behavior is that it overrides that design. It implies that my physical anatomy doesn't matter, that I can disconnect who I am biologically from who I am in my sexual feelings and my emotional attractions, that I can contradict my own biology. And so the argument we need to help people to see is this is a profoundly disrespectful view of the body. That people are, it's a very self-alienating, fragmenting effect on the human personality. And so when we communicate it that way, I think it helps us to communicate that we care about what this is doing to you, you know, that this expresses our love and compassion to you. You're becoming disconnected from, you know, your body, from your sexual feelings, your biological identity as male or female. And so it gives us a chance to communicate a much more caring approach, I think, to people who are struggling in this area.
Another insight in this is an incredible article, by the way, and this is one more reason to get the Christian Research Journal. Let me mention that you can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But Nancy, you point out that the redefinition of human personhood as a purely social construction opens the door to unlimited statism because there is no human nature that an oppressive state could possibly offend. So this whole move towards transgenderism has incredible consequences for our society.
That's it. Yeah, that, the next step after homosexuality really is transgender. Once you separate physical anatomy from your personal or gender identity, then gender identity becomes completely fluid, completely free-floating, like you said, totally unlimited in terms of how you define it. So let me give you an example. You may have noticed this was a few years ago. I think it was 2007. California passed a law that required all public schools to permit transgender students to use the restroom or locker room of their preferred gender, regardless of their anatomical sex. In other words, a boy who felt he was really a girl has to be allowed to use the girls' restroom, the girls' locker room, presumably the girls' shower room at PE. But what was interesting about it was that the new law redefined gender. I compared the old wording with the new wording. The old wording still talked about gender in terms of your sexuality, you're male or female. The new wording said it has nothing to do with what it called your assigned sex at birth. Now, most of us think if the baby's a boy or a girl, that's an anatomical fact. It's not something we assign as though it were an arbitrary social convention. But you see, sexuality now has become an arbitrary social convention. Biology is irrelevant. In fact, human personality itself is a social convention, and that's where we get to what you were talking about. Well, pretty soon, where do we have human rights then? If human rights are based in who we are as human beings, where there is a human nature that the state is not to override, this has profound implications for human rights in every area.
Nancy, just want to personally tell you how much I appreciate your work. I have learned so much from you over the years, and appreciate your contribution to the Christian Research Journal, and pray that God will continue to richly bless and use you for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom.
Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate that very much. And I will say, for people who'd like to know more about this, there's a whole chapter on it in my book, Saving Leonardo.
And that book is now available everywhere.
Right.
Saving Leonardo by Nancy Piercy. Thanks again, Nancy.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We should do it more often.
Well, I would love to do it. We'll try to make it a more regular occasion.
Okay.
God bless you, Nancy. And again, the article in the Christian Research Journal by Nancy Piercy is a must-read. It is provocative. Sex, lies, and secularism. It is eye-opening. It's critical for your discernment skills. It's critical for you to be equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. And again, remember this moniker: ideas have consequences. It's not as though there's no harm, no foul. The real consequences, and we're seeing them in the breakup of Western civilization in many of its aspects. It doesn't have to be that way. Things can be reversed. There are times of great revival that break out when Christians in the pews of churches, committed, authentic, New Testament Christians, decide not just to mark time, but make a difference. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. It's why we ask you to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. It's why we ask you to equip yourself with tools like the Christian Research Journal. Again, you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine. If you've not subscribed, take an opportunity to do so right away. You can even do so via the phone. Again, that number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Back in just a flash with your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
At a time when even Christian young people are hooking up, traditional ways of teaching biblical morality are no longer effective. Young people don't need simple rules. They need reasons to make sense of the rules. That is, they need to be taught the worldview rationale for biblical morality. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, award-winning author Nancy Piercy provides just the needed worldview rationale for biblical morality in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time when Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the Christian Research Journal, it's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're not subscribing, you may want to subscribe after the interview with Sean McDowell that I'm going to have in the next couple of minutes. But Sean McDowell's written an article for the Christian Research Journal titled "What Skeptics Want Christians to Know." And I think the importance of the article is encapsulated in that it is an article designed to communicate to Christians that our job is not about winning arguments. Our job is all about winning people. So in the process, it's not just debate points that matter. It's decision points that ultimately make the difference. And we're talking about a difference now, not just for time, but a difference for eternity. We have an opportunity to reach. Are we going to do that? Or are we simply going to have a we-they siege mentality against the world? Sean McDowell's written the article. Again, it's titled "What Skeptics Want Christians to Know." It's in the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Sean McDowell is a nationally recognized speaker. He has authored many articles and books, including the co-authored book titled "Is God Just a Human Invention?" and 17 other questions raised by the new atheist. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Hank. Good to be with you, bud.
As always, the article, I think, is extremely important because you found out firsthand that if you attempt to reach as opposed to just win an argument, you have an opportunity to have a serious dialogue that opens avenues by which people can, in fact, be redeemed.
You know, I think that's completely true. It's amazing that we hear these sound bites in our culture of people just attacking each other. Just really kind of harsh rhetoric, and we tend to think that people of those different views, whether it's different political views or religious views, all kind of think that way. And recently, I just decided that I wanted to go talk to some skeptics personally and really listen to them and ask them some questions and kind of sit on the hot seat at one of their meetings and try to just get to know them, not nail them with tough questions, although I was able to ask them some tough questions, but just kind of put a human face on what it means to be a Christian, because many of the people that I know are skeptics really don't have many genuine friends who are Christians, who are thoughtful and who listen to them and want to share the gospel in a way that's just very appropriate to where they're at in life. So I got to sit down with them, and I think you're right. I was pleasantly surprised at how open many of them were to just listening to why I believed what I believe.
Is this about having confidence in the truth that we profess? I mean, so often we don't want to have the dialogue because we're afraid that we might be exposed. And a couple of things related to that, I think, Sean, is that you found out that when you're on the cutting edge of evangelism, by putting yourself in that kind of a circumstance, you're driven into education, which means that no doubt you were asked some questions that you thought to yourself, you know what, I got to go back and do some research.
Well, like you, I love to read and I like to know my stuff. And I happen to be working on a PhD in this stuff. So I read and study apologetics all the time. But even briefly before doing this conversation, I thought, boy, do I know my stuff? Am I ready? So I started reading more books. I started watching a couple debates and really preparing myself. And I realized that, you know, when we have kind of a goal in front of us, whether it's me taking my students on apologetic mission trips, whether it's going to actually have a conversation at Starbucks with the skeptics or going to a skeptics group, when there's a goal out in front, kind of like an athlete who's training for a competition, then it drives us to all of a sudden really want to study and learn things in ways that we hadn't before. So I got a little bit nervous. It made me pray a little bit more. And in fact, a day or two before, I told my wife, I thought, man, I am going to this house of all these skeptics. What am I doing and what have I gotten myself into? And to be honest with you, Hank, I was just pleasantly surprised at kind of how prepared I was. I mean, they asked some good questions, but really just kind of some of the same questions that you answer all the time on the Bible Answer Man. So I would just say any Christian who just reads a few books, reads a couple articles, reads the Christian Research Journal regularly, is far more equipped than they realize to just be in conversation with people. And I learned from these skeptics that there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. In fact, they respect it. When we just say, boy, that's a great question, and you've obviously thought about this, I'm going to have to give it a little bit more thought. Then it breaks down some of their stereotypes that Christians just, you know, think they have all the answers or are thoughtless. Just simply saying, boy, I don't know, and then we go back and we do the research, and then next time we don't get stumped on that question again. So you're right, kind of stepping out and engaging people in conversation is a great way to personally build up our own faith.
You talk in the article, Sean, about the power of worldview assumptions. In other words, if you start with philosophical naturalism, it's going to be pretty hard for you to accept something like the resurrection. How significant is it to be able to say you truly have an open mind because you're allowing both natural as well as supernatural explanations as possibilities for what you encounter in the world?
I get to engage with many skeptics, people that call themselves skeptics, whether it's over coffee, whether it's on kind of mission trips I take my students on, debates, or in this dialogue that I write about in the article. And I love talking with them because one thing that comes very clear to me is just how powerful your beginning assumptions shape the conclusions that we come to. So I frequently ask skeptics, I say, before I go into all my evidence for the resurrection or for the Bible or for the existence of God, I almost always start by saying, what evidence would you find persuasive? What evidence would convince you? And I'm not kidding, Hank. I had some of my students on a panel up at Berkeley with about 100 skeptics and atheists there recently. And we asked that to a senior, I think he was a philosophy major at Berkeley, which is a great school. And he said to me, he said, you know, I think if there was a miracle that hundreds of people saw, that we could witness, that we had on film, he said, maybe I would believe. He goes, but my first instinct would be that I am probably on drugs and would need somebody to fix my brain. Now, you think about that. I mean, that person is so committed to naturalism that there's nothing that I could say or evidence I could give that would come close to that. And even if I did, he would think that he would still be on drugs. So the point is that these assumptions that we have, oftentimes skeptics, I say to skeptics, I go, you're skeptical, but are you really skeptical of your own skepticism? Because as Christians, the irony is I think Christianity is more open-minded. Because if there's a natural explanation for something, then let's follow the evidence and not posit a miracle. But skeptics can't even be open to the possibility of a miracle. They've ruled it out, at least most that I talk to, before they even look at the evidence. So one of the things I write about in this article is I try to get people to think about, okay, what are the basic worldview considerations that drive us and drive other people? And we have to get to the heart of those commitments before our apologetics many times will have the impact that we want it to have.
Talking to Sean McDowell, he's authored an article for the Christian Research Journal, What Skeptics Want Christians to Know. Sean, you are the son of one of the most famous apologists of the 21st century, and certainly he was a famous apologist in the 20th century as well. But talk about the power of humility. Here you have this pedigree. Your dad's a famous apologist. Do you go in with pride, or do you exercise the power of genuine humility?
You know, all I can say is that I try to be humble. If I stood here and I said, yes, I have real humility, it probably, like C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity, I would be so prideful I didn't even see it. But I'll tell you, Hank, one of the things about having a father like mine, who my dad had an alcoholic father and a terrible upbringing, just rough, difficult. He was sexually abused for a number of years, and he's been so driven when God changed his life to just tell the world the truth, books, debates, speeches. And for me, having a dad who's just so powerful and so persuasive, it's driven me to not just rely upon his convictions, but to try to find out for myself. So I look at my dad, and I'm genuinely just humbled that I got to have him as my father, that I have the relationship with him that I do, the example that I have. And looking at him, who's been so successful in so many fields in life, it's kind of made me look in the mirror and go, boy, you better work hard, and you better be humble and not take anything for granted. So having a dad that's so successful has just kind of, I don't know, I guess I don't take things for granted. And in many ways, I try to really rely upon the Lord and not my own strength.
And I'll tell you this, I know your dad's very proud of you as well. And we're very pleased with the article that you you authored for the Christian Research Journal. Very pleased with the work you're doing in apologetics. And Sean, as always, continue to pray that God will use you, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit.
Well, thanks for the encouragement, Hank. Every time I see you, you're building me up and believing me. So keep pouring out to younger apologists. We need a lot of new ones to come along to carry the torch that you and my dad have been carrying for some time.
Thanks, Sean. God bless you, my friend. And, of course, the Christian Research Journal is about what Sean was just talking about. It's about equipping today's apologists, and you think, well, that's for the hired gun. No, it's for you. It's not about the hired gun. Every believer has to be equipped. You know, if you look at the New Testament church, they turned the world upside down, not because of the hired gun. The hired guns predominantly stayed in Jerusalem. It was the believers spread throughout Judea and Samaria. And they turned the world upside down because they genuinely believed that Christ had risen from the dead. Again, the Christian Research Journal is there to equip you. It's our award-winning magazine, a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. The journal is on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true and right. It probes today's religious movements. It promotes critical thinking, and it provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. And we want you to subscribe today. It's a worthwhile investment in your life, in the life of your family members, in the lives of your friends, and in the lives of those that you do not yet know. God can use you as an effective tool to reach them with the truth, the grace, the love that only Jesus Christ can provide to the human heart. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with answers.
At the Christian Research Institute, August is definitely a valley month financially, and every gift from God's people is a special blessing. Please prayerfully consider sending a gift to the ministry this month so we can continue broadcasting in your area. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's newest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Hank poured his life into this book. His desire is for you to have assurance in the reliability of God's Word, because truth matters. Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt.
To donate to the Christian Research Institute and receive Has God Spoken, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The millennial generation has been characterized as selfish, sexually permissive, and technologically addicted. Yet, a deeper exploration reveals a generation that has been raised and therefore shaped by the baby boomers. But like every generation since the dawn of time, millennials need to know that they are broken and sinful, and that they live in a universe created by a God so loving that He gave His only Son so that we may have life. Learn how you can reach this generation with the truth of the gospel when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Simply call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so right now in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI, Christian Smith and Melinda Denton say that the vision of the universe that millennials have inherited from their parents and from their culture is the vision of a morally insignificant universe. So when one looks up into the stars, one simply sees empty space in which no one else is at home. They see short lives, lives that have come by chance, lives in an insignificant bit of carbon floating in a galaxy destined for extinction. No larger law-like order in nature that structures the moral living of the human race. No judgment, no final retribution or punishment, not even a remembrance of one's life after time and physics have run their course. Simply self, simply a world and experience, nothing more. In other words, when you take back the cover and you look underneath the surface of the millennial generation, you find a generation not just living in the shadow of the Bible, as the baby boomers did, but a generation echoing the values of their parents as echo boomers, values that are now separated so far from the Bible that people themselves have become mini-gods, and therefore the church has begun to cater to the self as opposed to pointing people to the Savior. Now, it's one thing to curse the darkness. It's another thing to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And I think the article in the Christian Research Journal is one of the most brilliantly written articles we've ever offered our constituency. It is an article worth reading and devouring if, in fact, we want to reach the millennial generation with the gospel, if we want to make the church not a microcosm of the culture, but a change agent in the culture. Joining me on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is the article's author, Mark Sayers. He's a speaker and an author. He specializes in interpreting popular culture from a Christian viewpoint. And he is the founder of Uber, a ministry that specializes in issues of youth and young adult discipleship. He lives in Melbourne, Australia, with his wife Trudy, daughter Grace, and they are expecting twins any moment. Good to have you on the broadcast, Mark.
Good to be here.
Mark, talk to us for a moment about the new kind of human and how to reach that human in this particular epoch of time.
I think I'm using the term new human in a sense to, I guess, express how differently millennials view the world. I think, you know, often we don't get beneath the surface of really just how different their worldview is and how different their worldview is, as you were saying in the intro, to a biblical worldview. For me, new humans are people who are coming of age trying to find a sense of meaning in a world where the sacred, where the Christian idea of transcendence has been completely removed. And therefore, often when they talk to us, it can sound like they're looking for, I guess, Christian answers, when actually I think they're looking for something very different. And I think that sort of lack of transcendence and lack of the sacred completely is the motivation behind so much of what they do.
One of the things that I have noted in reading your article is that the quest for salvation has been recast as a quest for well-being. And it seems to me that when you look around the culture today, you see many mega churches popping up who are catering to that quest for well-being, health, and wealth, as opposed to pointing people to eternal verities.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that a lot of this is happening, unbeknownst to some of these churches. You know, in a sense, almost they are, I guess intuitively they sense that what people are looking for is salvation in the imminent, sort of salvation in this world here and now. So without meaning to, you know, to keep the numbers up, to get people sitting in seats, you can find yourself sort of heading down this slippery slope where really you're just offering almost another version, a Christian version of what Oprah offers, you know, really. And, you know, for me, increasingly, this is something I guess I'm becoming concerned about and sort of trying to wave the flag and yeah, just help people realize what's going on here.
What do we do about that, though? I mean, if you look at the exodus of kids out of the church simply doesn't seem to be relevant to them anymore. Even when the church is recast in the image of the world, it doesn't seem relevant to them anymore. So what do we do about that?
I think this is one of the great sort of, I guess, I don't know, paradoxes of mission or evangelism is that, you know, often to be relevant, you have to be irrelevant or different to the culture. I mean, there's this fine line between offering things and using the language of the culture, which I think, you know, all good missionaries are meant to communicate in culturally relevant terms. But the danger is when you're offering, the church is trying to offer what MTV or Coca-Cola or Oprah's Empire offers, eventually the young person's going to look at the two and say, actually, I'm going to go with that one that lets me, you know, sleep with who I want to sleep with and do what I want to do there. So I think we really need to offer a message which speaks in, I guess, the language of the millennials, but offers them something completely different, something that they're not hearing anywhere else in the culture.
I want to read just a couple of words from your article and then have you comment. You say, then as we look out across the millennia, something grabs our attention. It seems small, weak, irrelevant. It is two wooden beams tied together. It sits 2,000 years ago on a garbage dump. We almost didn't see it. The light and the noise pollution, the pumping soundtracks, the buzz, the tweets, the 24-hour news cycles which took our attention away. But there it rudely sits. And before we know it, the noise, the heat, the distraction dies away. It rises up before us. The inane pop music is now gone. And all that remains is a steady beat, which we soon realize is our hearts pumping. Beneath our feet is dust, the dust from which we came, the dust that we will return to. Before we know it, all the lies of our culture, the spin thrown at millennials, that youth lasts forever, that somehow the present moment will hang in the air for eternity, are exposed. Our cosmic smallness, our fragility, our mortality is brought into the blinding light. Standing here, our pathetic attempts to be gods are revealed for the pitiful cosmic charades they truly are. For millennials to begin a true religious conversion, one not hampered by the incessant chatter of the therapeutic self, we must remind both them and ourselves of our own mortality. Talk about that truth.
Well, I think so much of our current culture is rooted in a culture of distraction. There's constant buzz around. The sort of existential loneliness that throughout history, particularly young people, 18 to 25, have felt where they sit there at night and think, you know, what's this all about? You know, I'm going to die one day. The problem is I don't think we're having that now because kids are constantly distracted. They're looking at their cell phones. You've got Facebook to check. There's always something on. There's buzz. And, you know, for me, mortality cuts through all of the sort of garbage, really, of this culture. And you know, almost part of the message I think Christians need to carry, which is not a popular one, is that, hey, we die. Lady Gaga's going to die one day, that, you know, all of this stuff will pass. And for me, when you look at that mortality, all of a sudden there's a sense of proper perspective put in. It's like our metrics, the metrics that we've given the millennials to measure life and measure success and measure meaning are completely wrong. And for me, you know, once that moment of mortality happens, that's when we can have that true encounter with the cross, which, you know, so it's always relevant in every culture, but, you know, it's never been more relevant than this moment in a culture which sort of says that, you know, we're never going to die, that we, you know, we must worship self.
How do we get kids, though, Mark, to stop long enough to see those two wooden beams tied together and to recognize the relevance?
That's the million-dollar question. For me, you know, one of the ways I looked at it is there was an ancient Celtic missionary, I think around the year 400 or 500, called Boniface, and he did ministry in northern Germany, and he would go into all these villages that were pagan, and in the middle of the villages they'd have this tree which they worship, and his missional sort of strategy was to take an axe, and he first, before he'd preach the gospel, he'd chop down that tree, and when that tree hit the ground, then he'd start to tell them about Christ. And I think we almost have to carry axes today that, you know, we have to start, you know, helping young people question some of the lies that culture's given them, deconstruct some of the promises of media and culture, and then we can start to have this conversation. But I think often we just sort of go straight in and we don't look at the way that the culture's twisted us, and then the gospel message gets lost because they haven't reached that sort of moment of repentance.
We really appreciate your article. Your writing is brilliant. I think this is one of the best articles we've ever offered our constituency. Thank you so much for your contribution, not only to our magazine, but to the broadcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
God bless you, my friend. We're talking to Mark Sayers. He's the author of the seminal article in the Christian Research Journal, Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. You need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's the only place you're going to get articles like this. This really, in itself, is worth subscribing to the magazine. But it gives you kind of a flavor for the excellence, not only of how we offer the article, the graphics that accompany it, but the excellence of an article that causes us to look deeply and reflect, not skate over the surface, but to go deep, deep where we can hear the voice of another world, the voice of God who has invaded our world, and that makes all the difference in the world. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can do so right now in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll see you next time right here with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to take complex issues and make them understandable and accessible to all. And part of that commitment is to offer resources to you that will help you grow in your Christian walk and help you defend the faith. So contact us today. Call us toll free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find a wealth of resources, commentary, and answers on our website. Just go to www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world.
In Has God Spoken? Memorable proofs of the Bible's divine inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.